Amen. Thank you. I think my ears might have been out of sync here the last couple of weeks, though. I kind of forgot about the plan of this during the five Sunday months that he had talked about me and Mark Ward taking turns and speaking that fifth one, and I really wasn't ready like I should have been. I kind of got in the habit of, I spent a lot of time in my shop by myself, and just as I go about the day, just talk to God as I'm doing my work, but I don't never really get still and quiet and just listen to him like I used to. I just got out of that habit. And this week as I was preparing for this, I expected him to speak to me like he has been doing as I go about my day, you know, and kind of put my message together, and it wasn't working. Little nerve set in and some anxiety set in, you know, and you know, like, God, you've got to show me this, you know, we got to get ready. And then I think it was Friday night, Mark texted me and he wanted to know if I was ready, and I was like, no, I'm not. I don't even know what my subject's going to be about. I went through all my old messages that I've done, you know, I thought, you know, some of them that were pretty bad. I thought, well, maybe I can spruce them up a little bit. But none of them never really connected with my spirit. And later Friday night, God finally spoke something to me. He said, why don't you just be quiet and be still? So I got to praying about that, and he said, "You need to learn to be quiet, be still, in my presence again." He said, "It's okay that we go about our day and talk to him, but there comes a time we got to just sit down, be still, be quiet, listen to him, just fellowship one on one." And so that's what my message is today. It may not speak to anybody else here today, but it's speaking to me. But I want to start off first with a little story, a little joke. It kind of goes with my message, though. And then there was a minister, and he dies, and he's waiting in line at the pearly gates. Ahead of him is a guy who's dressed in sunglasses, a loud shirt, leather jacket, and jeans. And St. Peter addresses the man wearing somewhat sloppy clothes, and who are you, so that I may know whether or not to admit you to the kingdom of heaven? And the guy replies, I'm Jack Thomas Jr. I'm a taxi driver from New York City. Well, St. Peter consults his list, smiles, and says to the taxi driver, take this silken robe and golden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven. As the taxi driver goes into heaven with his robe and staff, it's now the minister's turn. He stands up tall and he booms out. I'm Mark Haney, pastor of Harvest Fellowship Church for the last 43 years. St. Peter consults his list and he says to the minister, take this cotton robe and this wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven. Just a minute, says the pastor. That man before me was a taxi driver, and he gets a silken rope and a gold, silken robe and a golden staff. Why? How can this be? St. Peter looks to the preacher and says, up here we work by results. While you preached, people slept. While Jack drove, people prayed. Amen. And I want you to know I've only went to sleep one time during one of your messages. And it was a quick nod, you know. I titled my message, Be Still and Be Quiet. But after reading this, you know, maybe we should have titled it, Be Still, Be Quiet, and Don't Go to Sleep. Oh, gosh. Be Still and Be Quiet. Psalms 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We need to know that God is over everything, in everything, and in control of everything. He will be exalted among the nations. And as I was thinking about that, and I got to wondering, you know, here we are living in the day and age with the technology as it is. I'm wondering how far the gospel has traveled in the world. If he's to be exalted among all the nations, have we reached them? And what I found out in this this one study that's done, they think that somewhere between 24 to 27% of the world is yet to hear the gospel in a way that would lead them to a relationship with Christ. They say it's somewhere around 2 billion people still here on earth that have not yet heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But reading this passage, we know that there's coming a day when that will be true, when every nation will have heard the word. You know, they was talking there on that video about the little booklet that they print out in all these kids' different languages. And in this same study, it talked about there's like somewhere around 6,000 different languages in the world. I didn't realize there was that many. And somewhere between 15 to 20% of those languages is the only languages that have had the gospel translated for them. So there's still a lot of work to be done. And I think if we're still in quiet, we can figure that work out and get it done. Amen? Amen. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in all things hold together. Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In Hebrews 3:4, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, 1 Corinthians 10:26 tells us. Everything on this earth God designed. He put the material out there for it to be designed. Amen. As I was doing a little bit of research on this, as I was looking at Colossians 1:17, where it says, in him all things hold together, it popped up a video, and I'm sure probably most everybody in here has seen it. If you haven't, you need to go Google it. Is a message done by Louis Giglio. I think I said that last name right. Where he talks about laminin. Has everybody heard about laminin? Has anybody not heard about laminin? When you go home, you need to. I thought about showing that video, but I'll just let you go home and Google it. But laminin are high molecular weight proteins of the extracellular matrix. Now, everybody knows what they are. It's a cell adhesion molecule. And I'll just kind of spoil it to you in a little bit, though. But when you go and you Google this and you look at it, this molecule is in the shape of a cross. And it's what holds our very being together. And I just find that amazing, that the thing that holds us together, our cells. He talked about our skin, and he learned this from a microbiologist, I believe it was, who was telling him about this. But it's a very interesting message that he brings. So I encourage you, when you have time, to go home and learn about the high molecular weight proteins of the extracellular matrix. Amen. Amen. Psalms 37:7 tells us to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. God's success for others will never be the success he has for you. Amen. Because I know I've been like this in the past. I look at somebody and I'm thinking, well, Why are they blessed? Why are they getting all this? You know, God, what have I done that I've been praying for the same thing? I want it. You know, but God will just tell us, you know, it's not for you. The time's not now. Your time's coming. Be still, be quiet, wait patiently. Amen. Success is on the same road as failure. Success is just a little further down the road. Amen. I've had some failure this week as I was preparing for this. I don't know if it was just I was preoccupied trying to think about what my message was supposed to be. But, you know, I've been working on saddles, building them, repairing them for 35 years now. It don't seem possible that I've been doing it that long. But I'm used to making mistakes. I have to throw a piece of leather away and start over. But this week it was really kind of at a higher volume than normal. I got an order I got to have done by Christmas. It's a custom saddle a lady's having made for her husband. And so I'm trying to get it done, and I want to get it done by the end of this coming week because I've got other orders to do. And I keep thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get them all done. You know, I wanted to have them done by the 15th of December. That way, time to get them to everybody. And then yesterday, I took on three more projects. So pray for me there that I have the time and to get them all done. But I was working on it this week, and I was cutting out the back jockeys. The back jockeys, they sit behind the seat on the saddle, and they have no purpose. Their only purpose is to cover up what's the tree and where the skirts tie into the tree. That's their only purpose, is just to make it look pretty. And on this particular saddle, it's all going to be rough out except the swells, and these back jockeys are going to be stamped. And so I was working on them, and on these back jockeys, you have to cut one out for the left side and then one for the right side. They're identical. And then you take them and you put them together and you do a little stitch just to hold them together. And then you're putting another little piece on top of them to cover up that seam. And when you get all that done, then you have to skive it where it'll fit down under the seat in there tight. And so when you pull them down, and everything's good and snug. And it'll trap dirt and do what it's supposed to. So I get all this done, and I go to skive it, and I'm skiving it before I put my little piece over it, you know, which is no big deal because I'm going to skive it on the bottom side where it'll never be seen. And go over there, and I got a little machine. I just run it through there, crank a wheel, and it'll just make the pretty little cut, and no big deal. I done that and get ready to put this little piece on there, and I skived it on the wrong side. I thought, good grief. You know, what are you doing? Get your head in the game here, you know. So I've got to do this all over again. So I did. Cut another one out. Did it again. I think, man, what in the world is going on here? So what I did, what this tells me, I went just a little further down the road, and the little piece that I put on top, I just cut it a little bit bigger and saved the second piece. So just go a little further down the road, amen? Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans Proverbs 16:3. And here's one everybody knows, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. We need to be the persons planted by the streams of living waters. Committed to the plans that God has for us. And if we're still and quiet, he reveals those plans. Amen. And he will lead and guide and direct our footsteps. Mark 4:39 says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. We must be under control in the storm. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We must be under control. Too many people, when things go wrong, panic. We can't be like that, amen? We've got to know that God is with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. And I can never do a message without talking about Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? It's a command God has given us. He's commanding us to be strong and courageous. Not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Amen. And we're to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever we face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James 1, 2, 3. That's hard to do, though, isn't it? It's hard to be joyful in times of trials. But James 4:8 goes on to tell us that if we'll come near to God, he will come near to you. Be still, be quiet. Mark talked a little bit about our safety team, and this is what we're striving to do right here, is to be calm in the face of a storm, if a storm ever comes. I believe we're protected by God. Amen. I know we're protected by God. But God also wants us to be prepared just in case a storm ever comes. Amen. You know, we got a lot of good guys that have stepped up and volunteering and helping with this. And there's Kent and Josh and Micah and Scott and Travis, Clark, Will and Wes, Betty back there, she's part of the team. But it's just something simple right now. We're just a couple people out in the foyer just making sure that if something does happen that we're ready, see it coming, be prepared. You know, our next step is to kind of to put in place just where people are to go if something does ever happen. You know, we're assigning guys to the children's ministry back there. A couple guys will be at the south door. There'll be a few here in the foyer, and then people in here, you know, to give instructions so everybody's just not running in a panic, because we need to be quiet, be still, and be calm in the storm. Amen. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. He is in the battle, amen. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. I have to tell you a little funny story about me and Betty here. It happened a few days ago. We had a little battle. We got to talking about all the things going on in the world, and I can't remember what we were watching. Probably it was Tucker Carlson. Anyway, they were talking about there has been some stuff posted online where all the Trump voters are going to put them in re-education camps. Have you seen that? There's some people out there that think that if you voted for Trump, you need to go into a re-education camp and learn how to be a better person. Anyway, we were talking about this, and anyway, you know, and Betty, she was arguing it from one side, and I was arguing it from another side, and God really wasn't in that battle to start with, you know what I'm saying? You know, I couldn't get her to understand my side. I don't know why. And I wasn't understanding her. But when it all come down to when God finally entered the battle and told peace, be still, you know, we were arguing the same thing. But we just weren't communicating it right. But God is in the battle. 2 Chronicles 32:7 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Joshua 23:10 says, one of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. God fights for us. He wants to fight for us. We only need to be still. Deuteronomy 24, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight. Goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. And 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God's greater than anything we'll ever face. Amen? And we'll always outnumber the enemy. We'll always outnumber him. I'm about done. I knew this was going to be a short one today. I found this here online. It says this: be still and know that I am God. My Father said to me, and I will fill you with my peace and set your spirit free. You are my own. I've chosen you. You are precious in my sight. Give me your heart, and I promise you I'll be your guiding light. My love for you will never fade. By your side, I'll always stay. My joy will be your strength and shield if you'll let me have my way. I'm standing here with arms outstretched. I want to touch and make you whole. Of my living waters, come and drink, and I will quench your thirsty soul. Be still, be quiet, and drink up. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, I just love you and praise you and thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, just to speak on your behalf. And I just pray that this message, Lord, just spoke to everyone here today, Lord, that if they are like me and have gotten away from just being still and being quiet, Lord, that this will renew that desire within all of us just to together with you one-on-one, to just let you love on us, speak to us, and just to hear your plans that you have for us, your plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to watch over us, protect us. Lord, we love you just for everything you've done. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of eternal life that we have through his sacrifice. And we just want to honor you and praise you and thank you today. And Lord, I just pray your blessings and favor upon everyone here today and everyone watching. As I just want to lift them up to you, Father, and just pray your peace be upon them. Just thank you, Lord. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Mm.